accuracy over and over in the Word of God, and it always amazes me of how God's Word can be so true, written so long before these things took place. Now, it was my initial thought, because as we look at Psalms 22, it is a messianic psalm. So my initial thought was to go to another messianic psalm, as there are a few others, and it was my thought to cover those first. But as I began actually afterwards to go back and look at Psalms 22 again, just in my general reading, I began to dwell upon actually Psalms 22, 23, and 24, and I couldn't get them out of my thoughts. You see, when we look at Scripture, we have a picture of the Messiah, of course, in the Old Testament. We see that from the very beginning, all the way back to Genesis 3:15, right? But many times, as we look into the prophets, we see a Messiah that rules and reigns, and one that offers deliverance to the nation of Israel. But then again, we have some scriptures like we do in Psalms 22, some scriptures like we do in Isaiah chapter 53, where we see the picture of a suffering Messiah. Now, the Jews had a hard time in explaining what was going on in Scripture. To them, it was a great paradox. Now, some thought that there would be two Messiahs. There would be one that they called Messiah ben Joseph, which was the suffering Messiah, and then the other one they called Messiah ben David. And by the way, Ben just means son of. But Joseph, of course, was the son of Israel who suffered at the hands of his brothers. And, of course, David would be the one who the line of the king would be, the promised one who would reign. Now, if you had no idea about anything in the New Testament, if you had no idea about Jesus and all of these things, and all you had was the Old Testament, and you're looking for the promise of a Messiah, and you come to Psalm 22, and you come to Isaiah 53 and scriptures like that, you would have a hard time in understanding, well, how is it that this one is going to rule and reign, but one is going to suffer and die? How is it that we can have that? Of course, they didn't understand the coming of Christ, and of course, what we call the second coming of Christ as well. Now, that gets us back here to the Psalms, as we were looking at. You see, as we look in here into the Psalms, the interesting thing is how they're preserved for us in the Word of God here. You see, Psalms 22 gives us the picture of the suffering Messiah, gives us that picture of Messiah ben Joseph here. And Psalms 24 gives us the picture of Messiah ben David. That is, it gives us the picture of the ruling and reigning Messiah. And then nestled between it, we have Psalms 23, probably the most popular psalm ever written, the one that, you know, kids learn at an early age and can often recite the words. But, of course, it's one thing to recite the words, and it's one thing to know the words for yourself and to understand the depths of it. You know, as we look at Psalms 23, you often see it quoted in times of death, in times of sorrow. But you know what? It's not just a psalm for death and comfort. It is a psalm that points us to a shepherd. It points us to a shepherd. And my friends, that's exactly what Christ is to us right now. Right now. That's what Christ is to us. So before I get ahead of myself here, let's look in Psalms 23, verse number 1. I hope I can bring this out to you. Psalms 23, verse number 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. We'll stop there. Once again, we just want to reiterate here, of course, this is a psalm of David. That's what we're seeking to look at here is the Psalms of David. And, you know, as we look at David, we have to understand the relationship, of course, that he had with the Lord. You know, David wasn't just a king. David, as we understand from the Scripture, and certainly as we look at Scriptures like Psalms 22, as we did last week, and the other Scriptures that he wrote as well, you know, he wasn't just a king, he was also a prophet of God, speaking the oracles of God to the sound of music. That is something else in the way that was done. But he begins here by calling the Lord his shepherd. You know, that is a term that we're used to using today. We use that all the time because we're used to hearing that term. And in part, that's because of what David wrote here. You see, before David, you don't ever really see God personified as a shepherd. You just really don't see that in Scripture. So David's really the one who brings that shepherd statement to the forefront. Now, as you consider what a shepherd was, you know, a shepherd wasn't someone who was on the forefront of society. They weren't someone who were the most popular people in town shepherds were scattered out all over the hills, all over the place. And of course, David himself had been a shepherd at one time there, tending, of course, the sheep of his father. Now, David, think about this. David calls the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the universe into existence, the one whom everything that has ever existed came through, he calls the creator a shepherd. A shepherd. He lowers God Almighty seemingly down to this shepherd description. What David is doing is really putting in simple verbiage for us to understand exactly the depths of what God does for us in our lives. So, now again, you might be thinking, well, you start off by telling a psalm, this psalm was about Christ. You know, it's nestled between the suffering, it's nestled between that of Christ and His majesty, and you start off by saying this was about Jesus being a shepherd. So, you know, what are we talking about here? Because you're talking about God, and of course, you know, Jesus is God Almighty, part of the second part of the Trinity. We understand that those three parts are one, of course, but we want to consider specifically how Jesus is the shepherd of our life. Now, think about from the Word of God, that term, Jesus being a shepherd. You know, just go back all the way to His birth. You know, when Jesus Christ first came to this earth, who was the announcement first given to? It was given to shepherds there in the field. You know, as Christ began His ministry, as He really began to really gather His flock, He announced there in John chapter 10, y'all probably tired of me quoting from John all the time anymore, but that's where I'm at most of the time. But, you know, of course, His emphatic in John chapter 10, using that phrase, ego emi, the great I am, He spoke of Himself, and He said in John chapter 10, verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. By the way, He said earlier, there's none good but one. Who's that? God, right? So, and He called Himself good. John 10, 14, He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. The writer of Hebrews, whomever that may be, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Peter says of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 25, For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So certainly, Christ is our shepherd. So when, you know, a lot of times we look in the Old Testament and we read these Psalms and we get in the picture God, 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 and we don't think of necessarily Christ. And like I said, even though we can't really separate them, at the same time we can separate them. But here, again, nestled between the suffering servant and exalted Christ, we have Jesus, our shepherd, in Psalms 23. Now, He is our shepherd. He's not the shepherd of the whole world. Never claimed to be that. As a matter of fact, the world doesn't hear His voice. But who hears His voice? It is the sheep who hears His voice. And those are the sheep, of course, that He purchased on Calvary's cross. John 10, verse 27, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. If we are indeed one of His sheep tonight, it ought to be our heartfelt desire to listen to Him. It ought to be our desire to seek out His will and to follow Him in everything that we do. And the truth is, He is calling in our lives and He is leading in our lives. He is directing in our lives. And He's doing that, of course, by the voice of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Now that verse, number one, here in Psalms 23, it goes on to say, I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, this verse does not mean that David doesn't want the Lord. This is kind of a failing of our modern English here as we think about this. But the word is from a Hebrew word that means lack. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. That's what I want you to think of when you think of this scripture here. He is speaking of a shepherd who supplies his needs. And in particular, David is considering how he supplies his own needs, his own personal needs. You know, and that is the subject, really, of this entire psalm, is a shepherd who supplies our needs. In this case, it really is Christ who supplies our needs. He provides for his sheep physically. He provides for his sheep emotionally. He provides for his sheep spiritually. There's never a time in the life of the sheep, praise the Lord, that he is not providing for them. As we go through this psalm, as we look at every individual thought expressed in this psalm, it's going to relate back to that initial thought of I shall not want or I shall not lack, as we should think about it today. So look on in verse number 2. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, this verse speaks of rest. I shall not want or I shall not lack for rest. For he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, our lives are full of many highs and they're full of many lows. Our lives are full of turmoil. There's times in our life when we're full of confusion. But you know what? The shepherd provides his sheep with rest in the green pastures when they need it. You know, there are just a few of us here tonight. And, you know, we usually just have a few on Wednesday night. And I think that because we're here on Wednesday night and we're kind of few in number, that there's sometimes we discuss things and we know a little bit more about what's going on in each other's lives maybe than what we do the rest of the church altogether that maybe we see on Sunday. But you know what? It's very easy to come into church, and it's very easy to sit down in the pews and just to kind of blend in and to not have any idea of what somebody else is going through on the other side of the church, physically, mentally, spiritually, or anything like that. And we won't know unless they tell us, will we? The same thing is when we come into church, if we don't express what's going on in our lives, things that we need prayer for, they're not going to know either, right? But you know what? We worship a shepherd, folks, who knows all the time. He knows all the time. He knows exactly where you're at in your life. He knows exactly what you're going through. And folks, he knows exactly when you need rest. What is it that Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says? It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in my heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, the shepherd of the sheep never promised that every way would be easy in life. He never promised that. The truth is that much of the trouble that comes into our lives is because of our own disobedience, if we're really honest about it. But you know what? Regardless of that, we do have a promise tonight, and we have a promise every other night as well, that if we're one of his sheep, that he'll give us rest in the midst of our troubles. Just as he stilled that troubled sea when he said, peace be still, and those waters were calm. Folks, he can calm the troubled waters of your life. He can calm the troubled waters of my life and give us rest. If you happen to be in such a time as that, if you're listening perhaps, and maybe be in such a time as that, when it seems like the waves around you are high about you, when it seems like you're ready to sink, folks, have you cried out to the Good Shepherd? Have you cried out to the Good Shepherd? Have you cried out for rest? Because he will indeed provide rest. His sheep shall not lack. The next phrase is, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know what? This phrase speaks of peace. I shall not lack for peace because he leadeth me beside the still waters. And this phrase certainly goes back, of course, to what we just thought about there in the green pastures. But here we have a place where we can feed on the green grass and drink of the waters to provide nutrients. And David calls them still waters for a reason. You know, I've never raised sheep. I've never raised anything. I'm lucky to be able to handle two dogs and a cat. That's enough for me. It might be too much sometimes. But, you know, I do have some patients that raise sheep, and we talk about them sometimes because it's interesting to me. But you know, a sheep, they won't drink from troubled water. They won't drink from rushing water. You've got to take them down to peaceful water for them to drink at. And folks, you know, we have a shepherd that leads us to those peaceful waters there. And even when we might be surrounded by a lion or a bear, folks, a lion or a bear. Think about old David and how he slew the lion and the bear. We worship a shepherd, folks, that, of course, can conquer anything that surrounds us, as He leads us and provides us a peace that passeth all understanding, there in those green pastures and by those still waters. Verse number 3, it says, He restoreth my soul. Tonight, we shall not lack for recovery, because He restoreth my soul. You know, as we've looked into the life of David, of course, you all know, we've mentioned it time and time again, that God calls David a man after His own heart. We know that. But as we went through the life of David, we didn't find a man who was without sin. We did not find a man who was perfect in nature. In fact, far from it at many times. And of course, we know that probably the time that stands out more than any other time in the life of David that he fell into dismay was, of course, when he cast his eyes there upon Bathsheba. And then he took her. And of course, we know how that turned out, getting her pregnant and then trying to, well, killing Uriah, basically having him killed, trying to pass everything off and then take Bathsheba as his wife as though nothing had ever happened. David, a man after the Lord's own heart, did all of those things. And he wandered far, far from God, far from the voice of the shepherd. Adultery, deceit, murder. And even afterwards, he seemed pretty comfortable in living in his folly, till the shepherd sent forth one of his servants to call on David one day, to cry out, David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And David wept over his sin and his folly, cried out to the Lord in repentance. Later on, we'll probably look at Psalms 51, but it says in verse 9 and following, Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 23:23, he said, He restoreth my soul. Psalm 51:12, he was crying out for restoring. You know, David had to face the consequences of sin in his life, but the Lord was faithful to restore the joy of David's salvation, restore his soul before God. And where is it that we find forgiveness, folks? It's at the cross. It's at the cross of Calvary. You know, I love the song, Come Thou Fount. It's one of my favorite songs. I think it's one of Austin's favorite songs to play. And I love it because of the phrase, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, because, you know what, folks, that's me. That's always been me. Prone to wander away from the flock, prone to be attracted to the things and the sights of this world. But, folks, I worship a Savior, a shepherd, who will not allow His sheep, will not allow His sheep to wander long and far. Like David, He will restore His sheep. I'm so thankful for that. Matthew 18, verses 12 and 13 says, How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he found it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that one sheep than of the 99 which were not astray. Folks, that's what the good shepherd does for his sheep. That's what he does for us. He goes and he gets his wandering sheep. And you know, if a shepherd has a sheep that continually is running off and getting away from the flock, eventually he has to do something a little drastic. What does he do? He goes out and he breaks the legs of that sheep, and he carries that sheep back upon his shoulder to the flock. You know, sometimes that's what the shepherd has to do for us. When we wander off and wander off again, sometimes he has to break us down. But in doing so, we learn to lean upon our shepherd even more. Prone to leave the God I love, God will not leave his sheep wandering. he will restore them indeed into his fold. The phrase goes on to say, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is, I will not want, I shall not lack for spiritual direction because he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful, folks? God is leading his sheep. Christ is leading his sheep. His sheep know his voice and they follow him. You know, God has a plan. He has a plan for all of his sheep. From Sister Carla all the way down to Sister Sarah. From the oldest to the youngest and everyone in between. And the Good Shepherd's plan for his sheep isn't for them to spend their lives flourishing in the things of this world. That's not God's plan for his sheep. That isn't to say that he doesn't want good things for his sheep, because we know he desires good things for his sheep. But our treasures are not to be the things indeed of this world. Our treasures are to be heavenly treasures, where moth and rust do not corrupt. And the shepherd is leading us all the way in the paths of righteousness. And by the way, because he's leading, we know that we can make that journey, right? If he is leading us in a way, we know that we indeed can make the journey. Because our good shepherd never leads us somewhere where we cannot follow. He never opens a door that we're too weak or too frail to go through. Now, many times in our lives, we know his path, and we think we know his path anyway. We think we know his path, and what do? We start leading along, and we find out that we hit those doors that the Lord hasn't opened. When we fail in those things, it isn't because he isn't with us, it's because he has something greater for us. It might seem like it's a second best choice for us. You ever notice that in life? Sometimes we think this is what God really wants us to do, and this is kind of a second rate thing over here. But no, folks, what we thought was second rate is what God had in store for us all along. And the blessing is much better. God never has a plan B for us in our life, right? It's always plan A. It ought to be our prayer every day that he might lead us in the paths of righteousness and that we might follow indeed after his lead. Verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Greater words have probably never been written than those, hardly. I mean, there's just some of the greatest words ever written right there. And I think of the imagery of this verse is one of the things that makes this psalm so popular. But again, consider the thought. I shall not lack for fear because he leads me through even the valley of the shadow of death. The phrase here speaks of times of desperation. I have heard the description of a shepherd leading his sheep through a dark and steep way as he leads them from one valley into the valley that next awaits them. And those dark and steep ways are scary to the flesh, and sometimes we fear along the way. But we should not fear, because the good shepherd is the one who's doing the leading. And folks, when we understand that it is God who is leading, and God who is in control, that we can get the news of cancer or whatever it might be and know that death is certainly a certain thing, but know in our hearts that the Good Shepherd is going to lead us through and give us grace for the moment, that dying grace when the time shall come. If you're one of his sheep here tonight, and I believe you all are, you should have no fear of death at all. I understand we might be uncomfortable with the thought of death, but we should not fear it. We know that when we die, the angels are going to carry us right into the presence of our good shepherd. And there we shall see the one who bought us. What a day certainly that shall be. The next phrase is thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will not lack for comfort because his rod and staff, they comfort me. The immediate thought might relate back to those times when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, but we have comfort through him and by him truly in all stages of our lives. But as you look at this phrase here, you think about that rod and that staff. What are they used for? They're used for the protection of the sheep, aren't they? That's what the shepherd led him or used it for, the protection of the sheep, or to guide the sheep. He might use them to fight off an enemy who might seek to come and devour the sheep, of course. And certainly our shepherd is protecting us daily. But, you know, we also find comfort in passages of Scripture like these when we see remember Jacob, when he was returning home, and he was returning home to meet Esau. I want you to think about that time period. Jacob was scared. He was scared because of the circumstances that he had left Esau. He was worried. And as he was, God told him to go back, and the shepherd was leading Jacob into the promised land. And he had all that fear, and God opened his eyes. And Scripture describes it as if he looked to the right and he looked to the left, and he was surrounded by armies of angels. Armies of angels going along with him. You know what? That's the kind of shepherd that we worship. One who is there to protect us at all times, no matter what the circumstance is. It's true, yes, we have all, every one of us has a day appointed unto death, right? We all have that. But you know what? There's none of us that's going to go before our time. None of us that are. So, that rod and staff is used to protect us, but you know what? That rod and staff can also be used for the correction of the sheep, of course, who've gone astray. You know what? We find comfort in that too, because the Lord chastens those whom he loves. And I know that I'm loved by the Father because I felt that chastening of his rod and his staff. Now, let's continue to read. Verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Tonight, I will not lack for any need because the Good Shepherd will provide me more than I ever stand in need of. We have the picture of a feast here where the Lord is providing for an honored guest, anointing his head with oil, sending his Spirit to rest upon them so that their cup is running over. Is your cup running over tonight? Mine is. Mine is. You know, we could look at a lot of things in life and say, well, we don't have this or we don't have that. Folks, God has blessed us with so much in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. God has given us more than we've ever deserved. He's given me not just my necessities in life, but he's blessed me with much, much more than that. His Word has promised to give me my necessities, the things that I need. God never promised I'd be a millionaire, never promised that I'd have all kinds of wealth upon this earth. I read a quote this week. I thought it was great. One of the best ones I've ever heard. It said, the ones who preach the prosperity gospel, this wealth gospel, use the words of a man who wrote those words from prison. I thought that's pretty good. Looking at the writings of Paul, certainly he wasn't prospering too much when he wrote those words. Talk about bending the Word of God. But here in this chapter ends in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy, I like this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I think that's a good thought. You know, when we wake up in the morning, goodness and mercy are there to follow us. When you came to church today, goodness and mercy were sitting in your back seat. goodness and mercy, they follow us wherever we go. For the shepherd sent them to follow us wherever we go in this life. And certainly they will follow us as the shepherd leads us in the life to come. Now that brings us to the end of this chapter. Jesus Christ, our shepherd. Next time, as we meet over here, Lord willing, we're going to look at Psalms 24, and we're going to continue on in that thought and look at the ruling and the reigning Messiah, Messiah ben David. So with that, we want to end things tonight, but let's all stand, and we just want to go to the Lord in prayer and dismiss.